It's 10:01 a.m. on a Monday, all at once. Your sales leader needs to know which deals are at risk. Your PM wants feature adoption by cohort, and your CFO needs one last graph for the board. Now your data team has to say no to somebody. Hex changes that. Ask any data question in plain English and get an analyst-grade response, all backed by your actual business context as defined by your data team. Start saying yes to more data questions at hex.ai.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Second hour. Darren, Donick, and D-Base. Here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. What a crappy day outside.
Don't say anything.
We're
hoping it passes through. We got the tarp on the field. We got high school baseball this afternoon. Let's go.
Good luck with that.
We're hoping.
Supposedly, by the way, the Sounds start their season. And
the Sounds are going to play.
Supposedly, they're going to play.
We're going to get it in there. Well, it's opening day, man. We got to play. Play ball.
But if it rains all day and there's a 100% chance of rain tomorrow, too. I know they have tarps.
We got tarps.
I know.
Yeah, man. Play ball.
I know.
Play ball. Let's go.
That's right. Let's go.
So all you want to hear.
Let's go give away something. Let's do it. Let's do it. I told you.
Okay, Mr. Blutarski.
Okay. Most goals on the road this season for the Predators, they are it's the second best they've ever been on the road in goals. Just think about it. They still have five more road games to go. It's the second best production on the road when it comes to offense and scoring goals that they've ever had in franchise history. What season was their best? By the way, they're just three goals behind. They're going to be the best road team that we've ever seen in this franchise. Offensively scoring goals on the road.
Scoring goals.
Yeah. Well, Willie, they're going to score more than three goals in the next five road games. I feel pretty good about that. I do. I feel comfortable.
I'm almost confident.
I'm locking it in. I'm locking it in.
Top shelf.
Double top shelf. Triple top shelf.
Got to get some W's, though.
Okay? I know. Hey, Coach Villa. I know. I get it.
That's not where we're going,
That's
Coach
That's not
Willie.
Where we're going,
it's
Coach
It's game
Willie.
Day, man. Coach
Gotta
Willie
get
is
the W's. Don't care about the records. Got to get the W's.
Coach Willie is anxious, okay?
Got to get the W's, guys. So they have 120 goals this season on the road. 123 is the record. What season did they do that? If you can correctly tell Elijah Campbell at our Hillside Medical Game Studio on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, what year that was, you're going to the Preds Sharks this time next week. Next
can we rule
Tuesday
out
night.
1998-99?
I'm not ruling out anything.
You're
no
not
hints.
Ruling anything out. Okay.
No hints. Got to work for this one. Got to work.
1972.
They didn't have a team.
Oh.
Dennis Rodman.
Dennis Rodman.
Need you to be strong on the forecheck on this question. Let's go. Let's do what you do best. Getting some calls trickling in here. We'll see.
That's
if we've
a
got
tough question. You
got
to know the year. Well, you might remember the team, but you got to remember the exact
fine.
Year.
Fine. They don't get to Google it, you know, like they do a lot of times. And, you know, as soon as they get the
somebody got it. Look at
got
that.
It. Look, see?
Oh.
Wow.
Wasn't that hard?
Golly. Or you've been watching the broadcast.
Yeah.
Or listening to the broadcast.
Diehard Pred fan.
Okay. Well,
it's like Rain Man.
It's the way
you got
it should
up here.
Be. Yeah. Right? It's the way it should be.
Yeah. Good.
And tonight, speaking of that, we'll have Pete Weber and Hal Gill on our call on these airwaves at 7 o'clock. I'll have pregame here from Patron Platinum Club at 6. Villy and his crew.
Yeah.
On television side, will not have anything tonight.
So we say Villian Vase?
ESPN Plus.
We'll just be roaming the halls, roaming the building.
ESPN Plus. So what do you do? What do you do?
So whenever y'all shaking hands, kissing babies tonight?
A little bit. Oh, yeah. A little bit of that, a little of this, a little of that. Usually I end up sitting in the same place I always sit in our broadcast area and just watch from there with no equipment up there. Just
go,
my
computer. Go be amongst the fans.
So you guys sometimes don't do a mock draft? You know, I mean, a mock draft. A mock broadcast?
No mock broadcast. Sometimes we'll go schmooze a little bit, go into a suite here and there.
Lexus Lounge. Go. Hey, we need to go have a big important meeting in Lexus Lounge.
Just isn't that convenient?
Isn't that convenient? Just like the owners meetings or GM meetings. You know what? Let's have it down in the Lexus Lounge. What do you say?
Yeah.
Isn't that very convenient?
What do you say? Have you ever been down there?
Yeah. Well, yeah. We did some years ago. We did.
Before the NCAA tournament one year.
Yeah, that's a good spot.
Yeah. I'm trying to. Nice we've been place. In there a couple times. Yeah. That's right.
Nice place.
In fact, I think I remember one year we were doing Indiana had just fired their coach in basketball, and mm-hmm. I think we were speculating who was going to be their next coach, and I think it was the guy from Dayton that was the heavy favorite,
Archie Miller.
Yeah, and he got it. That didn't work out.
Didn't go so well.
Didn't work out. Congratulations, Joshua Cozart. Joshua Cozart correctly said the season that has been the most successful season on the road for the Predators in scoring goals, and that was what year, Willie? Billy?
Was that 06-07? 05-06?
Keep on going, Willie.
17-18.
Yes. Survey says, ding. But you struck out.
Yeah,
I would not have been correct. I would
not have been.
I would have.
Joshua Cozart would have beat you.
Good job, Josh. All right.
We would have lost, Willie, because of you.
Yeah. Player pass.
It's exactly. All your fault. It's all
Ever
your
since
fault.
Since you said that, I've been thinking about that a lot. Like, why don't they pass on Family Feud? Why don't they get the answer correct on the speed round and pass?
Analytics. It's analytics versus the fun.
But do they had? You're telling me these families all these years have had Family Feud analytics?
Look, no. They want to be on
the
TV.
The numbers say play.
They want to take their crack.
Well, you're right.
Board.
You're right. Yeah. If you're playing, you're getting a lot of TV.
Otherwise,
FaceTime.
Otherwise, all
you're just huddled
see
up.
On TV,
yeah.
You're huddled up, and you're just getting to see
up.
Anybody.
It's
you
a good point. It's a really good point.
Yeah.
The Predators might have to huddle up tonight. This is going to be a big one.
Oh, man.
Two more games against Minnesota, and it starts tonight. The Wild have been blazing hot.
I have to check this, deadline. But when the Predators beat them the last time they played, the Mikko Koivu celebration.
The rare ceremony win on the road.
Minnesota has not lost in regulation since then, I don't think. They're 9-0-1 in their last 10. It doesn't seem, that seems about right.
Well, what seems
I don't
right
think
is
they've lost.
Since the trade deadline, they've been on fire. We know that.
And they were slumping a little bit before that, and then all of a sudden it kicked back in for them. And they have just lit it up. So they're coming in here playing their best hockey. So that it's going to take a great effort by the Predators tonight. But Nashville has beaten them up there twice, which is not easy to do. Minnesota's 24-7-2 at home, and two of those seven losses are against Nashville. So Nashville has been successful against them to this point, but tonight's a new night, and Nashville has got a – and we've been talking – we talked about this yesterday. I think defensively is the important thing tonight. You've got to have it locked down on defense against Minnesota or else they can embarrass you because they are so skilled. If you don't have your act together with your defensive structure, you could get lit up and give up six or seven goals.
Better starts. Better starts.
3.63 goals per game, Minnesota. So this is a high-scoring year, but that's number four in the league.
Yep.
The Wild.
They are the fourth best-scoring team in the league. Heidi from Dixon said, I know it's bad if we lose Saros regardless, but I do wish we could get a backup goalie or get the backup goalie some reps this week just in case we need him in the playoffs.
That ain't going to happen.
It's a busy week. It's a busy week, so I do think you'll see David Rittich.
Well, there
you
are
think?
Four. Well, there's a back-to-back Saturday and
yeah.
Sunday.
Okay.
So it's a tough dilemma because but does it, especially does it, where you are in the standings
it,
right
it,
now.
Would it depend on you know obviously what happens tonight?
Yeah.
What Dallas
will
does
play
tonight?
Maybe,
there's
maybe
no
Ottawa.
Doubt.
Maybe
Ottawa's a possibility.
Maybe Ottawa.
Mm-hmm. Ottawa's a Thursday. Possibility, and then you have back-to-back Saturday, Sunday. So I would definitely think, you know. UC Saros will play two games minimum. The question is, does David Rittich play one or two of the other two? You got four games.
Yep.
Four-game week. That's a heavy, heavy load. It's a heavy load.
Is Ottawa going to – are they going to honor Melnick on Thursday?
Of course.
Are they? No, do you know that for a fact?
I don't know. I don't
you know.
Know
that for, I was like,
it just seems so, like every time we go on the road, somebody's doing
something.
So is that going to
happen on
something.
Thursday?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's sad. I mean, it's sad.
I'm not making light of it. I'm asking.
I don't know.
Are they going to do that on Thursday?
I haven't looked that far ahead, but.
Wouldn't be surprised if they did.
The timing of it, I don't know if they've played any home games since then. I don't know. And, of course, their whole future now, because he's passed. It's almost, it's like the Adams family a little bit. He's passing the team on to his two daughters, and it's a little bit unclear.
Do they know what they –
I don't know anything about
them.
Do
they care? Do they want to stay in and want to be in the business, not want to be in the business?
But also, they desperately need a new arena. Their arena has got the same problem that almost every team that struggles in attendance has. It's in the wrong place.
It's out in the middle
of nowhere,
right?
It's out in the middle. It's away from the city. It's not hard to get to, but it's a haul. It's like Arizona Coyotes. It's like the Tampa Bay Rays. It's like the Florida Panthers. It's just not a well-located building. It's a nice building when you go in there, but it's just not in a good spot. They need a downtown arena.
We'll come back. Have a good conversation with David Poile, Predators general manager. We do that next. Tonight, Predators hosting the Wild. Another busy week. Four games this week, and it begins tonight with a division foe, a team that's currently in second place in the Central, back here on the DDC. We're live here at Patron Platinum Club. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, and Derek Mason with you, now joined by Predators General Manager David Poile. David, good Tuesday to you. How you doing?
I'm good, Darren. Yourself?
Doing fantastic. Another busy week of hockey. I guess let's just start with the blue liners, some blue liners who've been out of the lineup. Do you have any kind of new good news on that front, or any type of news? Do you expect some of these guys to maybe get back sooner rather than later?
Yeah, I think Borowicki and Fabro have skated the last couple of days, and they're available tonight to play. So our coach has a lot of options. We're actually carrying 10 defensemen because of all the injuries we've just gone through on the back end, but you know, tonight we should be healthy, and he's got some choices to make for tonight.
How about the play of Michael McCarron here of late, centering that fourth line, big body, three goals in the last two games?
What a great story for you know, a young kid that was first round pick by the Montreal Canadiens and just could never make it with them for a variety of reasons. And we traded for him for a couple of years because we saw, you know, something in terms of his compete, his work ethic, of course, his size, some of his physicality. And, you know, he's never having a bad day. He's always the most upbeat guy in the dressing room and is going to do anything for his team or his teammates to be able to play. And this year, just staying with him a little bit more, playing him a little bit more, it's been really really great to see how he's played. He's improved his defensive part of the game in terms of his face-off, so he's going to do some penalty killing. And then again, his scoring was just something that has never been a strong suit. It's starting to pop in there, so a little bit older, but getting the hand. So very popular teammate, and our fourth line has played excellent this year, and he's a big reason for it.
No doubt about it. A guy that you did acquire at the trade deadline, now that he's been in there a little bit, got his first goal as a member of the Predators in the first period, late first period, on Friday night in Buffalo. What did you make of Jeremy Luzon and his goal and just really how he's played to this part? Now, a little bit more sampling. I know I think I asked you this last week, on a small sample, but a little bit more sample size here. What do you think of his play to this point?
Yeah, I think so far it's so good. When we talked about last week is everybody was possibly in the wrong seat because of the amount of injuries that we had on defense. And as I said earlier in the interview here, now we've got everybody back. So it'll be really interesting how John Hines chooses to play his defense tonight. Is he going to reunite Fabro with Josi if he's ready to go, and then move Carrier back with Ekholm? And then is it Borowicki and Benning, or does Luzon fit in there either on the left or right side? So he's got some decisions to make, and we'll see how it plays out. But I think Luzon here is probably getting a little bit more comfortable with our team and our players and our system, all those situations. So I look for him to be a factor here down the stretch for the Predators.
David, with 14 games remaining in the regular season, have you guys discussed, a plan for UC Soros? Do you have a plan in place, or do you just kind of have to take it game by game to see maybe when's the right spot? I know there's four more back-to-backs, but Can you plan that stuff out, or do you just kind of have to take a wait-and-see approach?
Well, you always plan, and then you readjust based on the circumstances. And that's obviously how I think that is. We laugh, too, at that sometimes because, it's nothing goes exactly the way you want it to. I mean, there's situations happen for injuries. Sometimes your team is a little bit more tired. You thought that was a practice day, and you don't practice. Sometimes you have travel issues. So, and then on the ice, again, with the goaltending situation, I think with 14 games to go, our goal clearly is to make the playoffs. So, we've got to start getting some wins, and the best way I think of starting there is to have juice in goal. So he feels good. I know he's played a lot this year, and there's people that are talking about that, but he's going to be in tonight, and I think we just, in this case, cliches, we just have to play it a day at a time. As you said at the opening, it's four games this week and 6 days, and that seems to be sort of how the schedule is going. So it would certainly be ideal if David Rittich can play in one of the four games.
I would appreciate if you would avoid the obvious of just winning more, because I know that would be your standard answer, and that is the right answer. But pushing that aside, if I were to ask you, what would you like to see something improve down the stretch in this final month of the season? Where would you go with that?
I would start with the start, our first period. That was a lot of our calling card, I felt, for almost all the season, where we get to jump on teams, outplaying them physically, having an effect on the outcome of the game. And then the most important thing is we were scoring the first goal an awful lot, so we were playing with the lead. In these last seven games, we have not scored the first goal. So in a lot of cases, we've been down 2-3, 3-0, 3-1 type of a situation. And that's a hard hole for anybody to get out of on a regular basis. So I think the start is really important, and getting that first goal, that would be on my wish list for tonight.
David Poile is with us, Predators general manager. David, one of the things that has come out, and I think you discussed it at your general manager's meetings, is just the trend of the league right now, where it's a higher scoring lead. There's a lot more lead changes. You used the recent examples. Nashville has been falling behind, but you guys have won a certain amount of the games because of your ability to come back. There's more goals being scored in general, but that also means comebacks and lead changes. It's great for the fans. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, I think it's great. I've always been a proponent of, we've kind of been a 3-2 league, meaning five goals in a game for a fair bit of time. The last 10 or 12 years, we've moved that up to like 5.8. And this year, just from our general manager's meeting, we were at 6.2 goals a game. So that's one of the highest numbers in recent history. So I like it. I like the fact that when you compare it to the 20, 30 years ago, when you had the lead going in the third period, it was based on the rules and the checking. You could really shut down a team. You could hook, you could interfere, and there weren't penalties called. Nowadays, you've got to be more careful in those situations, and teams are just better, I think, skill-wise to come back to score, to come back from a deficit to win. So I like it. I think it's entertaining. So, six goals a game, I think, is a real good average for where we should be for the NHL in terms of a good product and entertaining on the ice.
David, I got a question. Every time I am checking in on Milwaukee, it seems like I'm seeing Cody Glass do some good things. And talking to some other people, that it really seems like he's made some progress behind the scenes this year. What's your assessment of him so far?
Well, I think your sources are good, Willie. We feel the same way. I mean, everybody gets there in terms of when they make it to the NHL, if they obviously have the skill and the passion and desire to do that at different times. And Cody's path has been a little windy, if you will. And we thought that, coming out of training camp, this could be his time, but it wasn't. And he's gone down there, and after a little while, he's continued to improve. On our basis, we really feel that he's arguably the best player pretty well every night down there. So we really like the trend for Cody, whether that gives him an opportunity for at any time the rest of this year in the playoffs, or whether his full-time opportunity will come next year. But we do feel he's on the right track. So You know, nice young hockey player, center ice, which is a good, good position. He has some good offensive instincts. So right now, the star is rising for Cody Glass.
That's good news. Another guy I know you've talked about some, and he just keeps lighting it up on the junior level. So he's a little further down the road, but it's always nice when a guy that maybe isn't a high first-round pick, maybe not on everybody's radar right away, starts developing. It looks like Luke Evangelista is really another guy that has made a ton of progress at the junior level.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's a highlight film virtually every night for the London Knights, and you know, 50 goals in any league is a lot. And so we like his profile. Next year he will be graduating from junior, so he'll have the opportunity to compete to play on the Predators. You know, more than likely the road to Nashville, as I've said before, is probably through Milwaukee. We'll see how he can do in terms of being competitive and scoring in that league. But it certainly looks like for a second-round pick that we've got a good prospect on our hands with the way Luke has performed this year. We like a lot about his game, that's for sure.
And one more prospect, you know, as we kind of looked at to the future here that you guys recently signed, because this time of the year, as the college season ends, there's a lot of college free agents and there's some draft picks that make the decision, am I going pro or am I going to go back to college? You guys just made a signing last week right after out of the University of Notre Dame.
Well, I know we got some Notre Dame fans on the call here today, so it's good to have somebody with that Irish background. And Stastny has done a good job. Really, you know, sort of won the internally, I guess, on his team. He was you know, sort of voted the most competitive player, most popular player, his passion for the game. And we're really looking forward to seeing him in Milwaukee soon. He's just finishing up in Notre Dame with taking some exams, and he should be getting to Milwaukee real soon, so hopefully we can get him into some games and see how he adjusts to the pro game. But good draft by our guys later in the later round, and let's see what Spencer can bring to the table for the Predators organization as soon as this year.
No doubt about it, David. Good stuff as always. Appreciate it. Enjoy the game tonight. Enjoy the week, and we'll do it again next Tuesday.
Okay, guys, we'll see you tonight. Appreciate it. Thank
All right,
you.
That is David Poile, Predators general manager. Good stuff from him. As always, we'll come back and discuss this Predators team more on the other side. We've had some reaction on our text line. We'll read those as well as you listen to the DDC, ESPN 102.5, The Game. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals right now. Deals half off Woodhouse Spa, Mainstay Restaurant, Brooklyn Bowl, plus experience a 60-minute float session for Float Horizon for just $39.50. Check out Nashville's best deals at thegamenashville.com/deals. Back here on the DDC. Good conversation there with David Poile. And tonight, Predators have a big, big game against the Wild.
It's large.
On our text line, driven by Wilson County.
Yeah, what are the texters saying? I want to hear what the Preds fans
say,
are saying.
Keep Saros in there. They got to worry about getting to the playoffs first. Can worry about the playoffs if they get in there. I think a lot of people.
Oh, yeah, it's not a cinch. I mean, if the wrong things had happened, well, let's just put it this way. If you don't keep winning, you'll find yourself below the line here soon. Just take for example tonight. And, you know, this is reality.
Mm-hmm.
You lose tonight. You think Dallas has a pretty good chance of beating Barry Trotz and the Islanders at home? I'd say it's a pretty good chance. All of a sudden, you could be behind Dallas. Vegas has won 5 games in a row. Tomorrow, they play at home against Vancouver, who the reality is setting in on Vancouver. So it just doesn't seem like anybody loses right now. So if you're not winning, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. So that's – and if you win tonight, it's not like you're, oh, everything's fine. You know, that's the other thing is you got 14 games left, and it's in a pretty tight span here. From here on, you know, you had 2 days before you played Buffalo, 2 days since that game. But starting tonight, that's a fairly – well, I shouldn't say that. Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, and then if you take a look, it is you're going hard between now and the end of April. So how many wins do you need? Well,
all of them.
All of them is really the right answer, but yeah, that's a Coach Willie answer. I'm just trying to be realistic on what it's going to take to get into the playoffs. Right now, the Predators have 82 points. You know, I think
possible 28 more points to get.
Yep. I think if you get to 100, you're 100% going to make the playoffs. So that would be 18 points. So that would be 9 wins approximately. We know the 3-point games could be in play.
But you probably need to get to 96 for sure.
96, I think it's going to be right on the edge there. I just think these teams are going to be pushing. They're not going to be fading. There are some years where it doesn't seem like anybody can win. And, you know, somebody's saying, well, somebody win a couple games here. Like, there's been years where it's like 93 or 94 can get you in there. But I think you try to have that laser focus. Can you get 9 wins in the last 14? That's going to be tough with the schedule they have, right? That won't be easy to do at all. Mm-hmm. You know, 8 wins to get you to 98, I think your chances are very good. But the lower you go, the more you're relying on other teams to sort of fall off around you. And I don't know if you can count on that right now. Vegas is pushing. Dallas is pushing. So this is going to be a heck of a race. There's going to be a good team that is sitting on the sidelines when the playoffs start in the West.
I think what's perplexing is so much of the chatter and so much of the talk in the offseason was, well, you got to have the top line guys. You got to have the big contract guys. They've got to produce.
Well, they have.
Right. And it's like, I think we just kind of thought, well, if that happens, then everything else will take care of itself. Well, that has been happening all year, and yet we're still talking about a dogfight to the end.
Well, that shows you.
And they're having career years.
Exactly. That shows you truly how unbalanced this team is at this point. Because if you want those guys to play well, and they've been playing outstanding, but what if, you know, this last 14 games, they don't play as well? Well, the other guys hadn't shown that they can seriously pick up the slack. Because if those guys are not playing well, where is this team?
Well, the third line has been quite productive this year.
Mm-hmm. And really the fourth line,
it's
been pretty good.
Been fine. I mean, you're not going to get
but is it
go
is
around
it,
the league.
Is it good enough to take in place if Duchesne, Forsberg, Josi doesn't play well?
Think about it. Josi, career year.
Yep.
Josi, already elite player.
Exactly.
Career year. Forsberg, career year.
Mm-hmm.
Duchesne, career year.
Definitely.
Johansson, since he's been here, best season he's ever had.
And they're still in a dogfight.
I don't know about that.
In the regular season?
Up there, but I don't know about clearly the best.
In the regular season?
Yeah.
I think so.
Well, he had a 50-assist year a couple years ago. He's had some good years. It's his best year in the last 3 years, for sure.
Well, with 14 to go, I think he's well on his way.
He's having a good year. One way or the other. I mean, he's been a good, solid player for them.
Even with that, they're still in a dogfight.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We kind of thought, oh, well, if that just happens, then everything is going to be fine, mm-hmm. right? It's like, well, that has happened. They've exceeded everything that we talked about, and yet we're still talking about a dogfight to the end. Because I think it's going to come down the final week. I really do.
It's what it looks like right now. But it illustrates how it's defense that we're talking about here. Career year, we're talking about offensive statistics when you get down to it. It's the team game. What got them into the position that they are in? They got excellent goaltending, and they were playing a great team-structured game. That's gotten a little bit looser, really, since the All-Star break. They're 11-11 since the All-Star break, but remember, they lost the first four. So they're 11-7 since then. There's a lot of ways to look at it. But overall, they're scoring a lot, but they're giving up too much. So they need that balance. They need to start being able to play better defensively, to help Juuse Saros get back to what he can be, and that's a guy that can carry you. I mean,
you
never want to put too much
down
on
the stretch.
I think they can, yeah. I think Juuse Saros, to me, is due to get back into one of those grooves. that he can get in where he's erasing mistakes. He's had a lot of games recently where he's made some big saves, but he's also ends up at the end of the night giving up three or four goals, and that's what's been frustrating. And a lot of it is not really on him. It's on too many breakdowns in front of him. If they can hold other teams to low numbers of high-grade chances, then when UC Soros is on his game, he'll take care of the rest for you. And then maybe you don't have to score four or five to win. Maybe you only need three to win. That's how they won a ton of games early in the season. There haven't been as many of those lately. They've been winning a lot of 5-4, 4-3, which is fine. That's what's happening around the league, as we just talked about with David Poile.
Well, if you remember, we had calls. You both remember this. Of this team, they need to get something, more production, more offense. It's like, really? Like, that's the problem?
They're scoring enough goals.
They were scoring.
Scoring has not been the issue with this team at all. In fact, since those calls, it got better. It's like, I don't really view this team as scoring being the issue. Really, it's what you just said, Willie. It's like, okay, we've got to stop giving up so many goals, especially early on. And David Poile talked about it. I asked him.
The starts.
You could change something down the stretch. You'd like to see something improve. What would it be? He said the starts. That's something I brought up yesterday and today. I mean, they've just got to get off to better starts. And I understand everybody wants to get off to good starts. Nobody wants to dig themselves a hole, but they've been doing it. So they have to figure out a way how to navigate around those waters, because they've been getting off to slow starts and having to play catch up. A lot of times they've caught up, but even when they've caught up, sometimes it hasn't been enough, because it's a lot of work to catch up,
yeah.
As you know.
Yeah,
you got to exert a lot of energy.
You
got to
do it right.
Up.
And like, you know, I could have easily seen Kansas falling by a bucket last night. I was like, oh man, what a cut. But it takes a lot to do that. They were able to finish it off. Remember, Baylor was down 25 to UNC and caught up and then lost in overtime. It takes a lot out of you to play the catch-up game.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, even it depends on, like the other night, they got down 3-0.
It is 3-1.
3-1. So that's sort of a bigger hole to dig yourself out of. But if you're down 1-0 after the first period.
Yeah, that's not really the hole.
Yeah, that hole, you can't get to a point as the season starts to wind down and you're starting to play these really good teams. You can't find yourself after the first period down 2-0.
Which they did against Philadelphia here. Uh-huh. They were down 2-0 and they came back and won 5-4.
But then it's so much energy that you got to exert.
Yep.
Just to tie the game and then go up from there. And then it became a back and forth.
We'll come back and wrap up the second hour of the show. Don't forget Tim Hasselbeck coming up at high noon. Plus Rich Cimini at 1 o'clock. We'll get into a lot of things football in the second half of the show as you listen to Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stop by Social Furniture at 5412 Charlotte Avenue in Nashville. Enter a chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Preds and Blackhawks, Bridgestone Arena, Saturday, April 16th. Don't forget to check out the new sofas while you're there. Must be 18 years of age or older to enter the contest. No purchase necessary. Back here on the DDC. So Tim Hasselbeck coming up at noon, but something else that happened in the league. And, you know, we've been talking about the Predators. Obviously, Tanner Janot's having an unbelievable year. For the Calder, he's in the Calder discussion, Rookie of the Year. Another guy is Trevor Zegras. And unfortunately, oops, he did it again. He had another spectacular goal. But that's not what people were talking about. Well, I mean, they kind of were, but they were also talking about what transpired afterwards.
Well, part of the reason that Trevor Zegras is in so much conversation about the Rookie of the Year is not only – is he putting up good numbers, but he's making these plays that have really never been seen before. He's got this amazing creativity, and he had another wacky highlight goal, just amazing play where not only did he do the lacrosse move, but he wrapped the puck around his own teammate to toss it into the net. It was an incredible play. And, you know, when that something like that happens, the league goes crazy. Remember he had the other move where he flipped the puck over the top of the goal from behind the net and his teammate tapped it in out of the air. It was a great goal, and it's got all kinds of buzz going. And there's this new wave of young NHL fan that just loves that kind of play. They love the creativity. They love the spirit of it. They love the thinking, how do I do this? Philip Forsberg's got a lot of that, right? We see that a lot from Philip Forsberg. He's got the creativity. And my opinion is you're doing it not – you're doing it to try to find new ways to score. It's not I want to be a hot dog, right? Even though it might appear that that's what you're trying to do, and sometimes you're going to fail when you do that. But at the same time, you're trying to figure out how do I gain an advantage? How do I – like Philip Forsberg, for example, sometimes he'll put it up on his stick and he'll pass it to himself, right? He'll just tap the puck in front of the defender, outrace him, get it back. It's almost like he's passing it to himself and score. He had a great goal in
Shane
Vegas,
and Forsberg have had goals through their legs.
Yeah.
Through the legs goal is a great tactical move. It changes the angle. It's like the behind-the-back pass in basketball, right?
Well, that could be viewed as showing off.
It seems like it's showing off, but really I have an easier time if I look one way and I go behind my back in basketball. The behind-the-back dribble, that's to avoid the defender reaching and stealing it from you. You can't reach through the guy's body. So that's why, or through the legs, there's protection. You're shielding with your body.
Can you tell we've been watching the Lakers?
Yeah.
The Lakers Showtime.
Yeah, Showtime, which is, on HBO. I've been watching
it's too. Very entertaining.
But here's the thing. I guess you sort of got this old school, new school.
Right.
Well, old school, don't do this.
Let's just tell people what happened. What happened was, in Arizona, when Trevor Zegras scored this latest great highlight goal, there was a reaction from Arizona. They were ticked off. They were getting beat 5-0. And so they pulled the old school move of later in the game. There was a play where Trevor Zegras tried to sort of dig for a puck that was frozen under the goalie, which is kind of a no-no. It always gets a response going. But it really they took that opportunity to start beating up Trevor Zegras, and Troy Terry came up to try to protect him. Troy Terry is not a fighter. And Jay Beagle just beat the you-know-what out of Troy Terry. So much to the point where Troy Terry couldn't even play the next game. Lacerations, facial, they just beat the heck out of him. And so the old school people, including Tyson Nash, who's the color commentator for Arizona, who I really like.
He's an awesome.
I love Tyson Nash. But he's got that old school. This is how he was taught the game. So he made a comment to the effect of, well, when you score a goal like that, there's going to be a response. You're going to pay a price. And I think he said you're going to get punched in the mouth. And he sort of applauded Arizona for responding and not just laying down. But that's sort of the old school thinking. And so the new school people came flooding in to say, this has got to stop. We can't have this in hockey anymore. So there's that balance between the tough guy, you don't show anybody up, you protect your turf. Hal Gill will tell you that that's how he was raised on the game, right? So what's right, what's wrong here? That's the debate that's been going on. It really got a huge amount of discussion.
Well, I mean, it,
like you shouldn't get beat up because you make a great play,
wrong.
Right?
What they have to realize in any sport nowadays, it's hard to score points.
Yes.
In hockey, it's not like that.
Is it really?
Yeah. Okay.
I was going to say, the new rules in every sport is...
Well, they made it, but before, what I'm saying is this.
They made things easier.
They're not making the ice rink bigger. Right. It's not getting wider and longer. Mm-hmm. Guys are not getting smaller. Nope. They're getting bigger, faster, and it seems like it condenses everything. So if I, as a player, a young player, if I can find another way to score from another angle or another position, whatever, I'm going to use it. It's not my fault that you don't want to work on your skill, because that's what it boils down to. The old school guys that are still playing don't want to work on how do I get my game up to par with these young fellas. I'm not going to outskate them like speed, but how do I, from a technical standpoint, get my game to where I can keep up with these younger guys? They don't want to. So what do they resort to? I'm going to call that showing me up. So I'm gonna put down my gloves and we're gonna fight.
Right.
No. Well,
how did the bad boys for the Pistons try to combat Michael Jordan?
Foul him hard.
Right.
But what did the league say?
But the game allowed them to.
Exactly.
At that time.
But what did the league say after that?
This isn't good basketball.
This isn't good basketball.
Because you know what this is?
People are not gonna want to watch.
What? Right. What is this? This is the one thing that gets lost in the shuffle way too often. Two words: Sports, entertainment.
Exactly.
It's entertainment, folks. They're there to entertain you. Yes, it's competition. Yes, you're trying to win. It is also entertainment, and that gets lost. And when they do rule changes like that, don't think it's not to enhance entertainment.
They want to put more eyes on the sport.
Because that's great that Tyson Nash feels that way. That's great that other players feel that way. That's not why people buy tickets. They buy tickets to see goals like that from Trevor Zegras.
Yeah.
They just do.
And there are a lot of people that love the toughness of the sport. And I think you can have both.
You can have both.
This is the only problem I had with it. I don't think when you score a goal like that, it is showing up the other team. That's the problem I had with the discussion from Tyson Nash. I don't think that – I think you should be able to try a fancy move and not get beat up just because you tried something. It doesn't mean I'm trying to show you up. I'm trying to score. I'm trying to win for my team.
No, he's saying because it's a 5-0 game and the game got away from them, and then all of a sudden it's a problem.
So if there's
some of that, yeah.
So if it's up, yeah. if they're a 5-0 or 4-1 and they pull their goalie, should I not try to score a goal because you pulled your goalie?
Right.
Should I just no. Everybody stop.
Don't rub it in.
Yeah, don't rub it in. Bring it back out. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, it's just the code of hockey. There's this if you're beating me, if you're crushing me, I'm not there's a lot of pride. And I'm losing on the scoreboard, but I'm going to make you remember this game, right? I'm going to leave my mark. There's I got to show that I'm not going to tolerate
this. Yeah, you left your mark. You were trash that game.
Right, but that's I'm just
that's
trying to get into that mindset.
Honestly.
That's what has happened in hockey for a long, long time is, okay, you're going to show that you're not taking this, and the next time we play, it's going to be different, and let me show you I'm not going to back down. That's just –
I was surprised Kansas laid off whenever Bacot got hurt. Mm-hmm. They had all the momentum.
Oh, they stopped.
They stopped.
Yeah. I was so upset. Why didn't you jump into McCourt?
They had the numbers.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
Bacot
it was a 5-on-4.
And they just like pulled up and like, wait for the whistle.
And it almost
wait for
bit
the whistle. I know. That's another thing. Again, if the thing would have had a different outcome, people would have been talking about, like, what are you doing? Like, I get it.
Because the center was like, give it to me.
Like, sportsmanship, that's great. But, yeah, this is the national championship game. And, look, that's the rules. I guess, what is it? Until you're not advancing the ball, that they're not going to blow the whistle? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like when UC Soros had the issue with the blade.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, until the whistle, we're not going to blow it dead just because you're over there going, hey, I need you to blow it dead. Kansas didn't have to lay up. They could have continued on with that. And they had all the momentum with a minute to go. And they just laid up and waited for them to blow it dead, the play dead.
I can see in a situation like that in hockey, if this was Little League, this is little kids playing or high school playing. Okay, I can understand parents be. Oh, you show baby. This is grown. These are grown men. Don't complain. You're getting paid too.
You're getting paid.
Exactly. Don't complain.
Tim Hasselbeck to begin the third hour on this rainy Tuesday. We'll do that next.
Any team that's tested AI tools for data has seen the pattern already. AI gives a different number than your BI tool. Metrics don't match across teams, and inevitably, users lose trust. It turns out, turning on AI is easy, but making it work on data is not. Hex AI was built to solve this. The key is nailing context. Hex is built to unify and curate your data context for agents. Data teams can observe, govern, and continuously improve every AI answer, so answers get smarter the more your team asks. The result? Your entire organization asks data questions in natural language and trusts the answers. Not because the AI got lucky, because it knows your business and its data. Because that's what an AI analytics platform should do. Join data teams from Cursor, Lovable, Ramp, AWS, and over 2,000 more at hex.ai.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.